The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to God.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We find ourselves in the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And Ordinary Time is always a really good, it's my favorite season, although it's really two seasons, since it gets broken into two pieces on any liturgical cycle. But I like it because of it, we get to focus on the basics. And it's always very important, well, for anyone in any discipline or any endeavor, any human pursuit, it's always good to every now and then to strengthen the foundations. You know, even if one were to build a house or any sort of edifice, it's always good to repoint the basement, the foundation, concrete slab, whatever one has. You know, it's also an image that Jesus himself uses and tells us to build on rock, on him, and not to build on sand, on the shifting sands of this world. It's also a good opportunity for us to remember the sad reality that we find ourselves in, the human condition, that we live in a world that is not devoid of beauty, it is not devoid of truth, it is not devoid of love. However, it is not governed by these principles. We live in a fallen world, in a world that is very much under the sway of the evil one, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Mephistopheles, whatever you want to call him, him and his legion of millions of demons, an entire third of the heavenly host that rebelled and was expelled, cast down, and became these creatures superior to us in the hierarchy of creation. Angels, spirits, who are all intellect and all will, and yet are devoid of truth, devoid of beauty, devoid of love to a degree that we cannot understand, and so are filled with ugliness and with unbridled hate. And this is the one that we basically gave the world to on a silver platter through sin. We were given an enormous gift, the privilege of being created in the image and likeness of God, something that the angels themselves were not. And we were given the gift of unending life, and we threw it all away. And again, that is part of the human condition, isn't it? We very often undervalue the things that are most precious, the gifts that we receive in this life. How often we squander these things away. Again, Jesus is aware of this, and elsewhere he reminds us not to throw our pearls before swine, to not give to dogs what is holy. Yet, we do that almost on a daily basis, and we do sin on a daily basis. Jesus wants us to remember the basics, that he came here for a reason, as St. John tells us. Jesus came here to undo the works of the devil. And these works are everywhere, they're very powerful, and they are very subtle. They are subtle and seductive. And we live in this world, that our life in this world, our goal in this world, is to make it to the other side. Some of us are going to make it there sooner than others, all in God's good time and in His choosing, but our job is to try to stay in tune with the Lord, and when we are called from this world, to be ready to face the judgment seat. Jesus reminds us of this, to fear no one, but to fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna, in hell. For us here, we're pretty much aware of that. We're pretty much aware of that. But look at us. Look at this beautiful day, and look at these empty pews. There really isn't a sense of urgency left anymore, is there? Now, granted, some people will say that preachers for years have used the concept of hell and have beaten people over the head with the threats of hell and hellfire and damnation and whatever to control them, etc., etc. Maybe that's true. I'm sure maybe it was true in the case of a minority of preachers, but definitely not in the case of the majority. And the truth is, even if they had wielded it as a weapon, it is no less a reality, and a reality that we must be maturely aware of, and we must take precautions against. Life here in this world, whether we die in the womb or whether we live to be 125, is all too brief. And we are immortal souls that are going through this tunnel of time and space. And we need to stay focused on Jesus Christ and not be distracted by the traditional enemies of the soul. When I say traditional, I mean because they have often been commented upon by the great spiritual masters over the course of the last 2,000 years. The world, obviously, the devil, obviously, and the flesh, the self, our own inclinations to squander what is precious, and our own inclinations that we all have to lie to ourselves about very basic things. We're all in this, you know, we all share this condition. And Jesus reminds us to have hope, to not just give up in despair, but He did all the things that He did to undo the works of the devil, to break his death grip, literally, over humanity. He is the one, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He is the one who offers us salvation. It sounds obvious, but it is good for us to be reminded of this because we often lose sight of this. One thing that He is reminding us of also in this reading that we just heard is that we are together. We are not created in a vacuum. We are created together at the same time, those of us who are here. All the people, whether we know them or not, who happen to be in our lives and in our daily circumstances. When Jesus offers us salvation, it is not a question, as our separated brethren believe, some of them, that, oh, I receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. You know, that's just me and Him, and forget everybody else. No, it is communal. It is individual in the sense that, yes, I'm the one who must give his consent, but it is communal. I am baptized, and I am part of the mystical body of Christ. Everything I do has an impact on everyone else, whether it be for good or for ill. And we must remember this. But Jesus tells us that if we deny Him, He will deny us if we are ashamed of him publicly, that he will be ashamed of us. He's not just issuing a threat. What he is telling us is reminding us that we are responsible for our brothers and sisters. Who was the first one who denied responsibility for his brother? Cain. We don't want to be like Cain, do we? We are responsible for our brothers and sisters. And so in that responsibility to help them find the most important thing there is, the salvation of one's soul, is something that can take different forms for each one of us according to our respective vocations. Perhaps we are called to be moms and dads. Perhaps we are called to be single people in the world. Perhaps we are called to the priesthood, called to religious life, or what have you. Jesus isn't telling us to wear a sandwich board and to walk up and down Main Street yelling, you know, repent for the end is near. Obviously, that's a method that has been tried, unfortunately, and does not work. Or to be like that Baptist church in Kansas or wherever they are, you know, the God hates fags people. That's crazy. That's insanity. And that only serves Satan's purposes. It's not something that is rooted in love, and it is not something that serves the ends of Jesus Christ, the salvation of humanity. Okay, so then how do I witness to people? Well, for one thing, I think all of us can afford to be just a little more obvious in the way we live our faith publicly, just a little bit. When we eat at a restaurant, for example, do we say grace? Do we make the sign of the cross, which people can see? Or are we just, oh, I don't want people to see me praying. We might not say that, but we're probably thinking it. That is being ashamed of our Lord. When we're done eating, do we give thanks? When we drive by a church, do we make the sign of the cross to acknowledge that the body of our Lord is present in the tabernacle? Those of you who are older might remember that when you were kids, that was routinely done. Now, rarely does anyone ever do it. Why? Is Jesus no longer present in the tabernacle? Is the Eucharist no longer his body, blood, soul, and divinity? Why has that shame taken over us? Why do we have all of a sudden this desire to be more worldly and less Christian? Why is that? Well, because of Satan, that's why. And because of this world that serves him and serves his purposes. We cannot allow ourselves to be anesthetized by the media and by this world. You know, we live in a country that the United States may never have been perhaps officially a Christian country, but we were a Christian society. And Christian principles governed the day-to-day lives of Americans. Now we find ourselves in not only post-Christian America, but anti-Christian America. And our kids are in danger, real danger, spiritual danger, danger of losing their souls for eternity, danger of being destroyed body and soul in Gehenna. You know, we have entered a phase where we will disguise our supposedly neutral demeanor by supposedly respecting the rights of others or supposedly respecting the separation of church and state, whatever that is. Mind you, it is not in the Constitution. And we do so, you know, we dress up our shame of Christ in this finery, like we're being upright citizens. No, we're just being ashamed of Christ. That's all it is. You know, the governing discourse in today's America is an atheistic discourse. And it is not neutral, it is not spiritually neutral by any means. Personally, I think atheism should be declared officially a religion because it is a stance concerning God, whether he exists or not. And by golly, atheists proselytize a lot more than most Christians that I know. And that message is communicated through Hollywood, through the internet, through television, you know, things like Bill Nye, the science guy. And this new lie, Satan is the ruler of this world and the father of all lies, a murderer from the beginning. This new lie has arisen that science and religion are two completely incompatible things. You know, if you're smart, you will follow the way of science. And if you follow religion, it's because you're an idiot. You're an ignoramus. That is basically the message that is being given to our kids in the schools, and television, and everything. And yes, it is a religious message. It is. It is not religiously neutral. It advocates a certain philosophy, or lack thereof, a certain position towards the idea of God, and whether he exists or not, and whether we need to live our lives in keeping with a higher power, or whether we are the arbiters of and creators of our own moral universe. This is the reality that we live in today. And this is a reality in which God has very deliberately placed us. We are here today and now, not by coincidence, but because God wants us here. Jesus wants us here, he wants us now. And he wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to be a transformative leaven in our society. Not walking around with signs, you know, the end is near, but to be obviously Christian to the people around us, whether we know them or whether they be strangers. Today, let us ask the Holy Spirit to show us, how is it that I am denying Christ? Perhaps it's not even conscious. And what steps can I take, small steps, can I take beginning today in order to be more obviously Christian, in order to help my brothers and sisters to think of God, to think of Jesus Christ, and to help our kids to realize that, no, religion is not the province of morons. Religion is the mother of science, for one thing, and it is perfectly good, healthy, and even necessary to have a good balance between faith and reason, that all of us may help each other find salvation. God bless you.